All right, we're using that one.
If you're hearing this before listening to the weekly show, are you sure you meant to do that? If not, stop now and go do that first.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Oh, that is the worst writing that I've done for ages. It was very kind that Selena read it, even though it was bad. Tune in right now, it says. Or so, in your iTunes if you're already subscribed. Just a second, I'll just keep, hold that thought.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
Extra Large on Discourse. Extra Large on Discourse. That's why Dylan's here, because it's Extra Large.
Extra Large?
How to Be a Gentleman was the show that Rhys Darby was in that I was thinking of that got cancelled.
Oh, yeah. My auntie sent me 2 or 3 episodes of How to Be a Gentleman. It's not very good.
Yeah, and it's kind of unfortunate because he and his whole family moved out to LA on the promise of that, unfortunately. I guess they have to come back, or maybe they won't.
No, they'll just get another show.
Maybe.
There's a lot of people who just, do 20 shows that get cancelled in a row. Because he probably was paid enough to last a couple of years off that shitty couple of episodes. As long as he doesn't go insane with the cocaine.
4 episodes, I think they made.
Insane with the cocaine.
So, here we are. It's Extra Large.
It's extra long.
Extra long.
You know, it's quite traditional on the Discourse Weekly Show. If we're going to do any kind of overflow.
Have a sing-along?
Man, it really puts me off that it doesn't have, it's not the corned beef beat. It's very, very different from the corned beef beat.
What happened to your corned beef beat?
Oh, I might have it here somewhere.
Hey, remember Ben and I got Orcon Genius and we both said it was pretty good?
Yeah? You changed your mind?
No, it is, but the phone that I give you, I can't for the life of me figure out whether it's possible to actually see the list of caller IDs that have called you. So what the fuck is the point of having caller ID if you can't look back at the list? Anyway, that's it.
Sorry, I'm going to...
Orcon Genius is still pretty good, but fucking annoying if you want to look back at the list of people who have called you.
I'm going to have to create a new version of the corned beef beat. So how about you talk about... What did I interrupt you from talking about?
Well, we were going to talk about Occupy Wall Street.
Occupy Wall Street, yeah, get started on that.
So, hey, Mark, what do you know about Occupy Wall Street?
I know very little, but I know there's Occupy Sesame Street as well.
There is Occupy Sesame Street, and Sesame Street's YouTube page was occupied as well, but that's a whole different thing. Occupy Wall Street, there's a bunch of people, right, who don't like the way things are. And that's about as much as you can say about it accurately, because after that, it all gets confusing.
What I don't get is Occupy Queen Street.
Well, Occupy IT Square, really, but Occupy Auckland, maybe. Yeah, I mean, it's a show of...
Solidarity.
Disillusionment, I suppose, with the... I mean, one of the issues is corporate and business control of government, and that does, while a lot of the issues that the Occupy Wall Street protesters have don't really apply to New Zealand so much, one of them is the huge pay gap between CEOs and workers, where... CEOs are earning sort of 250 to 300 times the US average wage, which is just, no one works that hard, quite frankly, or is possibly worth that much money. But in New Zealand, it's more likely to be maybe 20 times if the CEO is pretty lucky. So in New Zealand, as a CEO, you might make maybe $1 million, which is about 20 times the average wage. So that's not such a big issue. And I think a person can be worth $1 million to a company, so that's fine. But a bigger issue that I think we do have in common is business control of government, where it becomes, as we've seen, perhaps with some legislation recently around copyright and things also like the TPPA and ACTA, where business interests usurp the interests of the citizens.
That's the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, I think?
That's correct, which I believe will be signed, and we still won't be able to actually read the text of it for 4 years.
That doesn't seem like an agreement that we should be in on. That doesn't seem like appropriate behaviour in an open, transparent democracy. I would say that why does the national government hate democracy? Why does the national government hate New Zealand?
Why do they? But would a Labour government be any better? I don't think necessarily that they would.
The previous Labour government wouldn't have. I think the current Labour government, the Labour Party, Labour opposition, might be. But I'm actually not confident about that either. The Green Party would be different.
The Labour opposition is the opposition. When the Labour opposition becomes the Labour government, their priorities and what they actually do versus what they say they will do change.
You know who wouldn't change? Green Party.
Probably not. So, yeah, I mean, the problem with that is that, you know, if they sign it, which they probably will, for it has supposed benefits for our country, we don't get to see it for 4 years, and there's frankly nothing we can do about it. Yeah. No matter how many of us voters complain about it, which we won't, and even if we did, it wouldn't be enough to make a difference. Can't do anything about it.
Well, it's hard to complain about it when you don't really know what it is.
Well, exactly.
So all you're doing, I mean, you're saying, I want to know what that thing is that you've signed in my name, and why did you sign it in my name? I mean, how can you have a mandate to do something secret?
Exactly.
I'm not clear on how you can.
So there's that.
There better be...
One of the biggest issues that Occupy Wall Street is complaining about, I suppose.
Yeah.
Although the problem with Occupy Wall Street is because it is such an uncentralized protest and movement that one of the problems they have is by not having, you know, a simple bullet-pointed list of things they want, it makes it very difficult for people not involved to comprehend what's going on and for the media to report about it. Which is, you know, it's a failing of the media in they're not making a big effort to do so, but at the same time, it's kind of, you know, if you've ever worked with the media, you understand how important it is to give them the things they can summarize for people to read in 200 words or 400 words or whatever.
Yeah. do you know what time it is? I'm gonna turn this up.
Is it calling me fine?
I think it might be.
Oh my god, I sound funny.
Corn beef. With peas on the top.
I want a sandwich.
Corn beef sandwich. Corn beef.
Lots of corn beef.
With peas on the top. And mustard.
White bread.
On the side.
What about sauce? No sauce, just mustard.
No mayo?
Corn beef. Mustard.
Corn beef. With peas on the top. Corn beef.
And spuds.
And thick, oozing gravy. Corn beef.
Peas on the top.
With peas on the top. Corn beef.
Corn beef.
Corn beef. Corn beef.
Got the proper stuff.
Corn beef.
Made in a big pot.
Corn beef.
Not out of a can.
Corn beef.
That's not the same.
Corn beef.
But if you're getting it out of a can.
With peas on the top. And
get
mustard.
Palm brand.
On the side.
Palm brand corn beef.
Corn beef. Corn beef. Corn beef. Corn beef. That's actually something.
Let me turn down all of these. That's something that you mentioned last time that I didn't quite twig to you that you'd said it. You were talking about corned beef out of a can. Definitely, definitely not what I was talking about.
Two very different types of corned beef. No, you don't have corned beef out of a can with mustard sauce and peas
no,
on the top. That would
no,
be weird.
No, certainly not. You know the best way to have corned beef? In a fale prepared by Samoans.
That's canned corned beef.
That's canned corned beef, but like they add mayonnaise and I don't even remember what else.
So
and it is so good.
A few years ago, like quite a few years ago, I guess 8 or so years ago now, I was an extra on a TV miniseries called Good Hands Le'ilemu, which was about a Polynesian Samoan.
Le'ilemu?
Le'ilemu. Polynesian netball player. And the catering, it was a largely Polynesian crew, or largely Samoan crew, actually, and largely Samoan cast and extras, but there were a few Palangi. And the catering was all Samoan food.
Were you the token skyburster, Dylan?
Yeah, bro. It was great. The food was fantastic. It was probably not very well.
It really is. I mean,
terrible.
You don't get fat from eating food you don't like. Put it that way. Mm-mm. Oh, yeah.
Unless you don't like lard. If you don't like lard, but then you might get fat from eating food you don't
but
like.
But who doesn't? It's delicious.
Everything's good about lard.
Oh, it's delicious.
So you have Wall Street. Ah, fuck that. Did you? Yeah, anyway. Wow. It's interesting, though, because the Occupy Wall Street, like, I don't see how it's going to stop. It's, you know, there's thousands of people.
Not just thousands.
Well,
there are thousands of occupiers. I mean, I think the last list I saw said that there were like 980 separate occupations going on around the globe now, all sparked off by Occupy Wall Street, all calling themselves something along the lines of Occupy something. And all with a similar, although not identical, that's because it's, as you rightly pointed out, you know, it's hard to say exactly what the motivation of all of them is. But one theme is it's about, and the reason they call themselves the 99%, it's about that 1% of people who control just disproportionately, grotesquely large amounts of wealth, and in turn with that, through their cronyism, and some call it lobbying, some call it, you know, just general political corruption, they control disproportionately in democracies too much of you know, government's lawmaking and so on.
Yeah, so I mean, but there's thousands of people just on Wall Street. There's thousands of people there, 24/7, and I can't see a way that'll stop. But the best thing I've seen suggested about what would be an outcome that would satisfy the protesters. I mean, I don't know if it would, but the best possible outcome is a really serious national discourse about what is wrong with the current state of politics. Basically, if that could actually be taken seriously and talked about in a meaningful way, that might go a long way to satisfying a lot of the protesters' issues. Because, you know, it's not going to be fixed overnight, but until it looks like people are really seriously addressing it, I can't see how it'll ever stop. And short of turning downtown New York into a police state, which seems to be slightly heading in that direction, but I can't imagine it'll go all the way. I don't think it'll end.
Yeah, one simple change that will start to address, you know, one part of it is election financing controls, capping the amount of money that anyone can spend on their campaign.
US elections are insane.
You look at the hundreds of millions of dollars that are spent to lose a US presidential campaign now. There is just too much money involved. Where do you think that money is coming from? It's coming from interest groups. It's coming from lobbying organizations. Exactly. It doesn't come without strings.
It doesn't come with strings clearly attached.
You might not sign a contract to get that money, but you know what the deal is.
Yeah, exactly.
Here is $10 million. Am I giving you that for nothing? You know, as the Chamber of Commerce or whatever, am I giving you that for nothing, or is it because I want you to pay attention to these things that are important to me?
Yeah.
And if you say you can't spend anything like that amount of money, if you say you can spend this amount and it can only come in, you know, donations of size X, then maybe that starts to address part of the issue. But there's other things with the market as well. Not even just politics, but just with, you know, people, and this is something else you spoke about. You know, how do you justify one person getting paid 40,000 times more than another person who works in the same company? You know, okay, so, I mean, how gifted are most CEOs? Let's look at how great HP are doing. How gifted is the HP board of directors? How gifted are they? Some of them are quite smart people, but are they demonstrating a competence that proves, that demonstrates in any reasonable sense that they are worth the tens of millions of dollars that some of them are getting for, you know, ham-fistedly cocking up an entire company? Are they actually worth the money?
You know, to be fair, do you know what the current CEO of HP is earning?
Probably a dollar.
Yes.
Yeah. Probably some shares as well, though.
Yeah, well, she already had a lot of shares. Yeah. But, And she gets an annual bonus. Her target annual bonus for fiscal year 2012 is $2.4 million, but a dollar.
Yeah, a dollar. But that is
Trickery, really, saying a dollar. It doesn't accurately represent monetary compensation.
He dollar for a while, didn't he? I'm pretty sure he did.
Steve Jobs, I think he was only earning a dollar the whole time. Was he not?
But I believe so.
But he was already a multi-billionaire when he went back, from thanks to Pixar and Disney.
And he owned pants loads of shares.
Yep, he absolutely did. And I think he sold a bunch as well. Good for him. The idea that a dollar is what any of those people are actually earning for the job they're doing, if you believe it, you're an idiot, frankly.
So there's a sign that was I've seen it at a number of photographs. A number of people have a sign that says, "What about a maximum wage?"
I don't actually know if I agree with that. I mean, I think that people should be able to earn whatever they can, but I just think there should be a recognition that some of these people are being paid is disgusting.
For most people working in almost any job, aside from being a CEO of a company, there is a maximum wage. Especially at a large corporate company, you work in a, you know, if you have job X in a large company, your pay is graded within a certain scale. And there is actually a maximum wage for how much you can earn.
Right.
So maybe that's, you know, not a ridiculous idea.
And that's true. There's a levels system, a categorization system
where I work, and it tells you
the range that you're in.
Yep.
The remuneration range that you're in.
And short of actually having a different job, you're unlikely to break that range.
And the big boss earns something over $500,000 a year, and good for him.
Which isn't much when you consider
he runs the biggest company in the city, in terms of staff, certainly, by quite a margin, actually, I think. Yeah. But how much more would be fair for him to earn? Would $10 million, would you say, oh, that's not much? No, you'd say, wow, that seems like too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, $230 million or whatever, CEOs end up getting rewarded.
Some of the horrific things are the golden handshakes and golden parachutes and stuff. You know, people who are basically getting fired out of jobs that, you know, companies that they've run into the ground, and then because of their contract or because of whatever scheme or because of, you know, cronyish back scratching, they get paid tens of millions of dollars to leave, to get out of the company that they're killing.
Yeah.
So I think this most recent chap out of HP did he get like $30 million or something out of the deal? For killing the company?
I think it's $32 million. Leighton in the chat room says, I'm less concerned with how much people earn, but whether it's earned ethically and what they contribute as a result of that pay.
And that's absolutely right. I mean, no one would say that someone like Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, say, shouldn't be paid pretty much whatever they want because they demonstrated value.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other examples of what, you know, of company founders. Tony Stark, probably he can write down as long a number as he wants.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly reason to reward people very well for what they do and what they've achieved. But you know, there has to be it's insane when the standard is that, you know, when it's the accepted norm that, you know, people are earning salaries for these jobs in the tens of billions of dollars, and the point is made by a lot of the Occupy Wall Street protesters that the financial services industry contributes nothing.
Yeah,
they create nothing. All they really do is gamble.
Yeah,
and with money that's not their own.
I mean, you look at all the work that David Banner has done, and he doesn't get anything like the right remuneration. Frankly. I mean, you got cowboys, you got chiefs, and you got Indians, and sometimes you've got an unbelievably
Native Americans. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
Unless you meant Asians.
Did I say David Banner? I meant Bruce Banner. I meant both.
Yeah, I didn't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Oh, come on! Don't make me angry, Dylan. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
I don't think I like you now.
Have we got any other stories?
Oh, there was probably something else. Oh, I was going to mention, they didn't have time to mention what your mother's sister's been talking about.
Yeah.
My mother's sister sent me some tapes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which I mentioned on a previous episode.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Which is an amazing show.
Yeah, tell me how amazing.
It's hard to describe. It's like a sitcom, but the thing about it is that all of the characters are just horrible people.
I don't like the sound of that.
No, it's funny and it's great, and they just get into these situations where they're just like, you know, you kind of, I think, I wonder if the writers who are also the stars and creators sit down and go, right, in this scenario, what would any normal, reasonable person do? Okay, let's not do that and kind of send it off in a crazy, other horrible direction. And it's just bizarre. At one point, two of the characters quit the job. They all run a bar together. Two of the characters quit the bar. And because, of course, they don't have a job anymore, they decide they should go on welfare. And since they're on welfare, well, they can't get on welfare without having a mental problem or being addicted to drugs or whatever. They literally can't get unemployment without those things. So they decide to go and buy some crack, and then they become addicted to crack. It's just,
Have you seen Drew Carey lately?
I have not. Is he addicted to crack?
You should see the guy. He is so different. He's lost so much weight.
Hosting a...
I mean, I'm not saying that I think he lost that weight through smoking pee. What would they call it? Crystal meth. I'm not saying that.
I wish that's what we called it.
Meth? Well, the crystal.
Yeah, crystal meth. I just don't like pee as a word.
The crystal. Pee is terrible.
You don't like pee?
No.
No, I mean, I like pee. Don't get me wrong. Mm. I'm not crazy. No, it's just the...
How else would I be able to work all night like this?
Saying it. I feel... Mind you, it could be worse. We could be living in Hawaii where they call it Batu, I think.
Batu.
I think that's the local Hawaiian word. I'm looking for pictures of Drew Carey. He looks a bit skinnier, but he's not. Yeah, anyway. So, there was that. I don't know. What else do we want to talk about?
So, going to say, our Discourse listener Sam's auntie sent me a tape, which was quite surprising.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she sent me a Revenge.
What's your auntie been talking about?
Revenge. I like the sound of that. I like revenge shows.
So Sam's auntie and Sam kind of like described it as Twin Peaks crossed with Gossip Girl with Revenge.
I don't... Sam? You're saying that like I know who Sam is.
She won the phone.
Oh,
the,
Sam!
Yeah, Sakura.
Right. Now I know who you're talking about. Now I know who you're talking about.
Regular show winner.
I thought you were talking about someone in Auckland, someone that you know.
No.
Oh, well, it might be someone you know.
Which is why it's quite strange that her auntie sent me a tape.
Now, are you sure... Now, what was it you said that Hawaiians call amphetamine? Because I'm trying to... Now, in Thailand, they call it something like yaba.
Right.
It's not too far off.
Yeah, I'm sure there's lots of words for batu, slang used in Hawaii to describe crystal methamphetamine.
Mm. Yaba. I read some interesting articles, actually, while I was in Thailand about yaba. Not because I wanted to try it. I definitely didn't want to try it. I understand it pushed out, was it cocaine? It might even have been heroin. It displaced it entirely. And that's down to like 10% of what it previously was.
It's tick in South Africa. It's
called what in South Africa?
Tick.
Tick. Tick.
Yep, it's bato or shabu in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Apparently it's known as Tina in the gay community in the US.
Mm. Mm.
There you go. Thank you, Wikipedia. I trust everything you tell me. So why, Leighton, are you still listening? I want you to tell me this. Why, as far as I can tell, Siri, despite its amazing, clever, super wonderfulness, won't let users tweet.
Probably because they'd send egg freckles.
If you say Twitter, it says, sorry, I can't help you with Twitter. Or if you say send a tweet, it says, sorry, I can't help you with Twitter. Why not?
I thought Twitter was supposed to be baked into iOS 5 quite deeply or something.
Yeah, it is, but that's why it knows it can't help you with that.
Ah. Leighton says it's version 1. I think it's beta.
Actually, and there's the other thing. Why the... I just don't understand why it only works on the 4S. It's just software, right?
Well, otherwise you wouldn't buy a 4S.
Well, yeah, you would, because it's a new Apple product, and because it's a new Apple product.
I would far rather get one of those lovely big Androids.
Leighton, do you have an iPhone 4S?
No, I think
if so, can you ask Siri why it can't help me with Twitter?
I don't think he has. I think he's going to Sydney in a week or so to get one.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Raj has just mentioned in the chat room a link to an article on how to tweet with Siri.
Yeah, I assume that's the one where you set up a link, you set up an address book entry for the text-based Twitter, and then you tell it to send a text to that address book entry. But you can't call that address book entry Twitter. You have to call it something else, because if you say
Tweeter,
it won't. Text Mr. Bird, it suggests.
So I saw there was a very funny tweet. It was something like, "This is what I will always do when you try to show me Siri." And it was a comic strip. How long ago was that? Did I favor it?
I actually haven't looked. I was surprised when I first started to see those Siri screen grabs that there didn't yet seem to be one of those, like, you know, like auto correct me or whatever websites for it yet. But there may be now. Mm. Like one of the, you know, one of the, what is it, not autocorrect me, what is it, the, oh, anyway. Damn You Autocorrect, that's the one I was thinking of. Oh my god, that site's funny sometimes. Have you been through damnyouautocorrect.com?
Yes.
Are there times when you cannot help but slightly pee with laughter?
There are definitely those times, but mainly there's times when I think, oh, come on, don't be so obvious when you're faking it. Some of the ones where it's like, Mum, I'll anal you later.
Okay, so the people the people who are doing Damn You Autocorrect are setting up their own site called Why Siri Why.
Yeah.
Why Siri?
Such as, for example, Siri, am I fat? I'd prefer not to say. Etc.
That reminds me of the Siri GLaDOS video that's been going around. Have you seen that?
Nope.
GLaDOS from Portal, I think it is.
Yep, okay.
And it's like, Siri, am I fat? Like, yes.
Leighton Appleseed in the chat room posted, shit that Siri says .tumblr.com. And there's just, they're so simple. They really add a bite things because they're simple little screen captures. So if you ask Siri, what is the best phone? The reply is the one you're holding.
Oh, cute.
And if you say, I love you, Siri says, oh, stop. And then say, will you marry me? Siri says, let's just be friends, okay? And people might think that this is AI. Clearly not. Clearly not. Don't be silly. Don't be silly. Depends on what AI means to you. If you mean, this thing is intelligent, which is what AI means to me, like hell, absolutely not. It might be a little bit more sophisticated than, God, it wasn't called Ada. What was it called? Iris? No, what was it called? Sheila? Shirley? Starla?
I don't know.
Fuck, what was it called? The old one. The old school one.
The old school one. You're not thinking of Lisa.
No, not Lisa. It acted like Eliza.
Eliza.
Eliza. Eliza's what I'm thinking of, which could sometimes come up with, you know, sophisticated sounding answers, but then, of course, you could easily trap it. And I think that Siri is far more sophisticated, and it better be because, you know, Eliza's 30 years old or something.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I didn't get it when we were talking about it last week. I did not get what it was to be doing.
Yeah.
But it does come up with some pretty interesting sort of stuff. Mm. And it's what's interesting is you see different people use the same things and get slightly different responses.
Yeah.
As well. So there's a couple on there. There's a variety on there about, you know, I love you and different responses people say to that. One of them was, I bet you say that to all Apple products, which I suspect actually the person involved probably does.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
It's also easy to predict that someone's going to say something like that, things like that, and to preload a few amusing responses.
Yeah. Did you ever see there was a YouTube ad video thing? I can't remember exactly. Oh, it was for Sellotape or something? No, I can't remember what it was. But maybe it was for it was like Brother P Touch label kind of thing. And it would start this thing. You know, you were out deer hunting or whatever, and then at one point it would stop, and you could type in what you wanted to have happen next.
Yeah,
And they'd obviously predicted a whole bunch of variations and made these little different videos for them. Yeah. It was quite clever. I can't remember which one it was.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Was it for chewing gum? Was it for... Yeah, it was brilliant on YouTube. That was so good.
Yeah.
And you could say, dance with the bear, and so on.
Yeah, that's right. That's the one. With the bear.
Kiss the bear. Hug the bear.
Fuck the bear came up.
Who was it from? Actually, I've just added Ryan Sproul, philosopher and marketing consultant and social media expert.
That's enough.
That was a synonym. It's an antonym. No, it's a synonym. On YouTube, there was... Oh, it's Hunter versus Bear. Who was it for? There was an interactive where you could put in different... You could type in... It was Tipex. It was for... Christ almighty. Dude.
Ow. Has
everyone seen this? I've got a link. I'll give it to the chat room. There we go.
It's very clever because it actually breaks. It breaks out of the normal.
Shoot this bear! Come on! I can't! Just shoot it!
Shut up! Why would it?
I don't want to shoot this bear.
The controls won't respond until it's finished doing its thing. This is quite annoying, actually.
Help me rewrite this story. Type anything you want with your keyboard. Then enjoy.
Yeah, okay, but what I want to do is mute you. Man, that was really annoying. Still won't let me mute it, actually, but it's finished playing. Yeah, so it's Tipex. You go to the... we'll put it in the show notes, beloved listeners, and we've just pasted it to the chat room, so they will be checking it out. Oh, God damn it! What are you doing? Starting again!
Write something up there!
No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to. I'm going to close you. Very annoying. Now, it might have been breaking out of the YouTube, the little window there. But it was preventing me from using the normal YouTube controls. For instance, mute or pause. Very frustrated. Mm. Very frustrated. But it's so cool. You just type in. Like with some of those things, they're little interactives. They just pull up like a square, highlights a thing, and you click it, and then it goes to another page with some related thing. And we've seen things like that. Like there's one with a piano keyboard, and they just play like a scale in order. And then if you click on the keys, they put hot areas over them. And if you click on them, then it jumps to that point in the video, and so it seems like you can kind of sort of play it, that kind of thing. But this is not like that. This allows you to type in, and it plays different videos. And they had surprisingly many, so you could have like kiss the bear.
Did you know you can navigate YouTube videos with the number keys at the top of the keyboard?
Yes, you can, and it means that you can skip. Now, what do they call it? That first 30% of any YouTube, you can skip it, and it will probably not be. It's got a name. Let's see, I bet the internet can tell me. Skip 30% YouTube. How about that? That's sophisticated. Wadsworth. Wadsworth. That's what it is. It's the Wadsworth constant.
Oh my God. Leighton posted into the chat room the best example of Siri usage I've seen yet. So someone's asked Siri, where can I find boobs? Siri says, I found a number of strip clubs, 16 of them are fairly close to you, and then gives you lists to where all the different local strip clubs are.
Okay, that's pretty good. I'm quite surprised that Apple would allow anything like that, though.
That is surprising,
yeah.
Given Apple's total hate of boobs.
Now, let's see. I don't ever use the thing on the Android phone, and it's definitely not as sophisticated as Siri. I'll probably have to have GPS turned on. I've turned everything off. All right, so if I say... Navigate to boobs.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
No, it's definitely not going to work. It recognized exactly what I said. And now it's opening up Google Maps navigation, but it's going to make me, all right, the GPS is on. The options that it's giving me so far, Spy Bar.
Yeah, oh, okay, there you go, that's not bad.
The Spencer on Byron Hotel.
Okay, good place to take your boobs, perhaps.
The Elliott Hotel, not strip clubs, I would say.
You will find boobs at Spy Bar, though.
I wonder if it will even. I wonder if I'm even more specific about it. Navigate to strip club. But I have to say, Navigate 2, I mean, actually, it requires those keywords. So I can't.
Yeah.
Well, it's got Navigate to Strip Club, though. I'm very impressed by how well it works with my mumbling.
Where is the nearest glory hole?
Oh, this worked really well. Carla's Gentleman's Club, Showgirls, the Pelican Club, Mon Venus, Club Men of Steel, the White House, Monica's, or Mustang's Gentleman's Club. So a pretty good job, but I didn't say boobs. I said strip club. But it did a good job. If you're a little bit more specific, it will show you exactly where to go.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, Siri's, the natural language stuff in Siri is really fun for playing with, but would it be that much more useful?
According to this, I'm 4.2 kilometers and 9 minutes away from the Pelican Club.
Well, I just installed Iris on my phone.
Yeah.
And when I asked it...
The dev one, or has it been released?
It's the dev one.
Right.
So it did the speech-to-text fine and asked the question, but now it's just sitting at, and just thinking.
What did you do? Did you do where can I find boobs?
That one I actually asked, who will win the Rugby World Cup?
Well, how's it going to know that?
I don't think this is going to be able to happen with that at all.
Who will win the Rugby World Cup? I tried several questions and it just sits at, with a progress bar.
Right.
Oh, mine didn't quite. Mine has...
I am quitting. I have emailed you my resignation. Ooh. I am quitting. I have emailed you my resignation.
Oh, Iris just quit.
Well, I asked who will win the Rugby World Cup, and it's just given me a link to rugbyworldcup.com. Which?
Apparently Iris just emailed me her resignation.
Yeah.
Oh,
Iris, not very impressive.
It's a dev beta build.
Does Iris suck balls? Let's see what Android has to say about that. Does Irish suck balls?
Do they?
Let's find out.
That can't be real. Let's just post another one. Siri, are you menstruating? No comment, douchebag. Oh, wait a second. They've set the name in their phone to be douchebag.
Yeah.
And then they've asked a question, which Siri doesn't have an answer for.
Yeah, it's the same as the autocorrect bullshit.
Clever.
So no comment is just probably what it says when it knows it's been asked something dumb. And it's the sort of thing that things after Eliza did. So
if I think of it, I reckon the other one, which was the glory holes one, where is the nearest glory hole? I didn't find any public toilets. The spacing's a bit weird. I wonder if they've also set their name to be public toilets.
Yeah, that'll be it.
Yeah.
Where is the nearest glory hole? Where is the... Oh, my God. It asterisked out glory hole.
Holy shit. Google is censoring you?
It fucking is. Where is the nearest G star 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 star? That's weird.
You know, if I saw that posted in like a forum post or something, I would never figure out what it was. G star star star. That's not a word.
That's bizarre. Glory hole. Oh my God. G star 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 star.
I think you might be able to turn that off now that I think about it.
Do you have safe searching turned on?
And I know it's got it right because it goes, G, star, 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 star. It's got a few options. Did you mean all these ones asterisked out? And then after that, glory hold and glory hole as in complete. So it's definitely got it right. That's weird. I'm
Google
offended.
Isn't censored it for me.
I'm offended that it would censor that. This is
might be a safe search thing.
You've probably got safe search turned on.
Dirty
slut. You wouldn't want to accidentally find some porn or something.
I wonder if this works. Shut down. Shut down. Shut down, motherfucker. I probably shouldn't have given a bunch of commands all at once. Shut down. Jack Don. Jaeger. Jack Don NZ. Jack Don M-S. Jack Jan. Yuha Don. Jack Don Health. Jack Ram. Jack Galon. Jack Don C. None of those are very useful.
So welcome to talking to Google. Talking to my Android. Episode 41.
This is... actually, I've got a thing.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
Which means, you know, we can go on like this for as long as... Well, until we want to leave.
Yeah, but the battery's fine. The battery's flat on my Android, so I can't play.
Oh. Sorry, bro. Sorry, bro.
Yeah, I made some phone calls today, so, you know.
Yeah, I think...
Fucking smartphones.
Power management on Androids, that's a problem that they seem to have.
To be, the Defy is much, much better than the previous one I had.
Mm.
I understand this. Apparently, the Galaxy S2 has great power management. But I mean, to be fair, even iPhones have, you know, iPhone is certainly also not not brilliant. It has the same kind of issues, especially if you use it, God forbid.
If you turn on more background processing apps, then your battery does die.
Yeah.
Like I had, like, on my dashboard, I had, like, a Facebook, I had a Twitter, like, little widgets. The breast is the upper ventral region of the torso. And, yeah, the battery just died really quickly.
So, unrelated to that, can you shut that thing up, Mark? Can
Iris
you
just
shut it up?
Decided to come back.
Just shut it up.
Did you just...
according to canonrumors.com, they've just released the Canon USA press release for the EOS 1DX.
They haven't just. It's been around half the day.
All right.
It's been around 2 days by the time you listen to this. But yes, anyway, 1DX, which is poorly translated from Japanese, I understand.
No, it's exactly translated correctly.
Right.
At full frame. This is the previous 1D. 1D Mark II?
1D 4 Mark II.
1D 4 Mark II?
1D, yeah, 1D 4 Mark II.
Right. Was not full frame, was it?
I can't remember. But, you know, some improvements. Apparently it does better video, but no one knows how much because, you know, whatever.
Well, we haven't got it yet.
Well, that's all anyone I know about cares about in these things.
The ISO goes up to 204,000.
Yeah.
That seems high.
Yeah.
Though, having looked at a friend's 1D Mark IV at like 64,000 or 100 something thousand, the noise management was surprisingly good.
Yeah, and it's even better than the 1DX features the new Digic 4.
Yeah.
Processor, which apparently is, you know, better again, and a new image sensor as well. But who knows?
These are so far beyond what we're used to in terms of noise management and so on that it's, I mean, they're kind of, I mean, they're ridiculously good, actually, frankly. They're also ridiculously expensive. The 1D Mark IV, I think, about $8,000. This thing, probably a similar ballpark.
Yeah, it won't be you know, Canon 7D cheap, and it won't be point and shoot cheap. But the whole market for cameras is changing. I just happened to go to a product launch for a new camera the other day, which I can't talk about yet because it's embargoed, and I signed something.
It's a Panasonic.
It is a Panasonic, yes.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. The really interesting thing about the presentation was, so I've been to a few.
I don't have an NDA.
That's fine. I've been to a few different product launches from different companies.
Yeah.
And this was really interesting because they were very frank in talking about where they saw the market in general. They talked about their competitors, about what they thought the competitors were interested in doing, what they thought they would, you know, where they thought they were better, where they thought they, their competitors had an advantage. I mean, you know, nothing interesting specifically, but it was really interesting that they did that. And it's really enlightening to see that from a company, that they have that level of awareness.
Yeah.
And that they'll frankly talk about it. Yeah. But anyway, they see, in fact, probably most camera companies do, although Canon and Nikon, well, certainly Nikon not so much, Canon somewhat aren't embracing it. And that is the market for, well, they call them mirrorless cameras, I guess. So yeah. Interchangeable
like viewfinder versus like SLR.
Yeah, so interchangeable lens cameras, so bigger than your compact.
So like Micro Four Thirds.
But yeah, with a interchangeable lens, they don't have the mirror. They're not nearly as big as the DSLR.
They don't make a big clunking noise. It probably means they last longer without needing servicing.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, broadly speaking, there's nothing in, say, let's say a Canon 5D Mark II that's so popular that you couldn't put in a body that is smaller and doesn't have, you know, that. Because the main reason the DSLR body is the size that it is because it has to have a physical mirror inside it that moves and a prism and...
And I mean, previously they were that size and shape because the film went on one side and a receiving thing went on the other and it spooled around and wound through. And now that's not a consideration. With the full frames, they have the same kind of light sensing area as the old film bits of film did.
Yep.
But aside from that, their requirements and considerations are not the same. And with a decent higher resolution electronic viewfinder, there's no need for an optical viewfinder, which is the point of having the mirror. It's so you can see through the lens exactly what the camera is going to capture.
Yeah.
And there's no real requirement for it anymore.
No, it's totally unnecessary. I mean, it's an old concept. I mean, and even now that a lot of the SLR cameras feature live view, which essentially disables the optical viewfinder anyway because it locks the mirror
up. Yep.
There are some which have a translucent mirror, so
Sony,
you can still,
I think.
Yeah. But the other thing is, do you remember way back when, in early digital camera times?
Yep.
Do you remember what was the Sony? What was that one that?
The Mavica.
On floppy disks, the Mavica. Oh, that was a shit camera. But way back early then, there was a couple of different companies promised to come out with a digital camera insert that would fit. It would be the size of like a 35mm film canister with a.
They did. They came out with camera backs.
Did one? No, not a camera back. This wasn't, because a camera back, you need to have a camera that had a removable back. Yeah. This was a camera film. So you could put it in any camera that took a 35mm film, basically, without actually having to modify the camera at all.
Yeah.
I remember at least two companies promised to do this, and I don't think any product ever shipped.
Yeah.
But that seemed like, wow, imagine that. And this was when cameras were taking, a good digital camera took a 640 by 480 photo.
Yeah. Yep, I remember it well. I remember using a Mavica with a floppy disk.
Yeah.
I think you could take... I don't remember exactly how many, 28 photos or something?
Something.
38. Small number. They had effects. You could have a sepia photo. That was exciting. I think I used photos I took on a Mavica in print work.
They developed the concept further and came out with a Mavica that used recordable, those small, like, were they 5cm recordable CDs?
Yeah.
I remember that one.
Yeah, that didn't sell nearly as well because by that point, XD memory or whatever was popular earlier on had come out. People were using that instead.
So there was a company called Silicon Film, and they existed at siliconfilm.com. That is not there anymore.
Right.
They used Compact Flash. And they had 4 AA batteries, and it dropped in. It looked like it dropped in the back of an SLR.
And it existed, you reckon?
Well, maybe. 1.2 pounds. That doesn't seem like it would fit. 4.2 megapixels in 2004. Is that good? I don't remember what it was like in 2004.
It
seems like it was probably vaporware.
That was pretty good for that age.
Yeah. Probably vaporware.
No, 2004 was when that was. 2004 was the year that the Canon EOS 300 came out.
This isn't 2004 because I've found an article, a forum comment thread that talks about Silicon Film suspending operations in 2001. So that 4 megapixel claim must have been 2001 or earlier.
Right, would have been very good then.
Definitely vaporware. It's a fun idea, but it's also one of these kind of stepping stone in betweeny things, which are, I mean, there's really no chance that they're going to be successful long term, because I mean, why would you mess around with this stopgap hackish measure, which, when you can just get a digital camera, it's like coming out with it's like using. Cameras that have a spinning optical disc in them, as you say, ridiculous. Stupid. So stupid.
Right. Here it is. The EFS 1, which was their thing, had a 2.58 focal length multiplier. That's a 28
Holy
millimeter
hell.
Lens. Yep, 28mm lens becomes a 72mm.
That's long.
And it only supported certain camera models, the Nikon F5, F3, N60, N90, and Canon EOS 1N, A2, and EOS 5.
Mm.
So, yeah, it wasn't. Wasn't a game changer.
Oh, I think I hear a baby waking up.
No, just a little baby coughing, and then there's a cat meowing. Might be drawing to a close, I think. It might be Might be interrupt the show with the children and the cat time.
Yeah, I think it's just about that time. All right, is there anything else that we want to do? Haven't done one of them this episode,
yeah,
I'm
no,
pretty sure.
Corrections.
Oh, God damn it, it's still on loop. I've got to stop leaving it on loop.
Actually, I really enjoyed talking to Leighton last week. That was very good. It was.
Should get him on for the main show again.
It was enlightening.
Yeah, he'll get a big head.
Yeah, no, we want to stop that. He's at risk already.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Is there anything left in the dock? Hey, Dylan.
Hey.
Do you want to be able to stream Hulu or BBC iPlayer, even though you're not currently in America or the UK?
Yeah, that'd be handy.
Do you have some reason for wanting people who try to look at your internet connection to see that you're not in New Zealand, but instead that you're on some anonymous IP address in Canada, Sweden, France, England, America, or Russia?
Absolutely not. Why would I want to do that?
Do you just generally want to have your anonymity protected on the internet, maybe because your government has recently passed some kind of stupid law or whatever?
Yes.
Tell them to mind their own business while you mind your own. Go to discourse.co.nz/VPN and sign up.
Okay. I bet it costs heaps, though.
It surprisingly doesn't cost heaps.
I see what you did there. I deliberately didn't say expensive so I wouldn't ruin your line, and you just went, fuck you.
I auto-ruined.
Yeah.
We haven't done a toot bag. Is there anything worth talking about in terms of the tooting? Did I favorite anything that was useful? Wombleton, sweet, found out what I can do for Discourse's election thingy.
We mentioned that last week.
Yeah, we even played his thing.
You know what we haven't done?
Mm-hmm.
We haven't talked about it in any of the shows. Yeah. There's a container ship stuck on a reef.
Yeah.
Haven't talked about it.
What's that? I don't know what you're talking about.
I think there's two halves of it now, isn't there?
I don't know if it's quite happened like that yet, but goodness gosh, it can't be far away. No, I don't know. It's just,
sounds like it would be very serious.
It does. Have you been following the armchair salvaging that's been going on Twitter?
Someone's been salvaging armchairs.
Yes.
What, like recovering them?
I've been doing it myself, but the common belief that a lot of people have about the salvage not having happened quick enough, that the Maritime New Zealand dropped the ball or whatever.
Mm.
It's interesting because, I mean, normally I'm quite willing to believe that, these things are very complex and experts know what they're doing and we don't understand. But at the same time, sometimes people are a little bit incompetent or don't necessarily initially understand the magnitude or seriousness of the problem that they're dealing with.
Here's a tweet early in the piece. 8 days ago, 10th of October. Angus B. Hodgson on Twitter. Stephen Joyce said that they need to work out where it is and what it's doing. Stephen, it's in the ocean. And it's leaking oil.
Yeah. So there was the big thing was the guy from Lancer Industries offering to.
He had two inflatable barge things that could go out and pump. They could pump out.
Well, they could pump. They could receive the oil that had been pumped out.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, and they're designed for that purpose.
Pumps exist. You can get a pump.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that. They weren't mobile pumping platforms. They were just things to stick oil in and tow it ashore and get rid of it.
Yeah. And they had 4 days of clear weathers before everything went crazy.
So Maritime New Zealand's plan instead was to bring the US Naval bunker ship, US New Zealand Naval bunker ship, Aranui, I believe, to do it.
But they had to come a lot further, didn't it?
It had to come from Auckland. And apparently, I saw some report that they said it had gone to Marsden Point to offload something first and then come down, but apparently GPS logs dispute that.
Mm.
But anyway, so that happened. I heard that and I thought, oh, well, obviously his message didn't reach the right people at Maritime New Zealand, which, you can easily imagine that happening in a crisis situation. And then apparently it did, but they just filed it away.
Mm.
And then I don't know whether that's a bad thing. Now, of course, everyone says it's not as simple as it seems, and it probably isn't because, people get paid a lot of money to do this sort of thing. It can't be that simple. But you do wonder if balls were dropped and opportunities missed. And unfortunately, I don't think anyone involved was deliberately useless. So Really, we're just looking back with hindsight.
Doesn't matter if people are deliberate or not. If they're useless, maybe they should be in a different job.
I mean, I presume that everyone who was involved in the response believed they were doing the right thing at the time.
Speaking of being useless and being in the wrong job, there's a tweet from someone I don't like, Giovanni Tiso. But it's a good tweet, regardless, so I'm going to read it anyway. You've got to hand it to Don Brash, that's with a D, no relation to our mate. You've got to hand it to Don Brash. He inherited a party in crisis and turned it around 360 degrees.
Yes, he did. Very good tweet.
Yeah, brilliant.
I don't know who that guy is. I don't understand why you don't like him.
He's a private citizen, so I can't really be as free talking about him as I can when I talk about public citizens. You know, people who expect criticism in the world. He writes some good stuff, though. I recognize that, so credit where it's due. Also, other things not so good. So John Pagani, some people might be familiar with him from Radio New Zealand National, where he is in the From the Left and From the Right thing with, what's his name, that right-wing running dog?
David Farah?
No, the other one.
Not that one?
No, the other one. He's done the From the Left and From the Right thing for years and years and years, even since back when I actually listened to Radio New Zealand National, which I haven't done for years. Anyway, John Pagani hasn't been on it for that long, but he's the left-wing guy. He's also on Twitter, at John Pagani. Interesting point that he made. Actually, I'll just read the whole article. That whole thing with our Prime Minister, John Key, I'm not reading the article yet, saying that he was advised by Standard & Poor's that New Zealand would be downgraded if we had a Labour government.
Yes, hilarious.
Interesting parallels. And I'll read this now. Title, Is This New Zealand's Ute Gate? Don't know what a Ute Gate is. Guess we'll find out. 2 years ago, the leader of the Australian Liberals was badly damaged by the use of an anonymous email that purported to support claims he made that turned out to be untrue. The Aussies take these scams much more seriously than the New Zealand media has taken a similar scam here. Malcolm Turnbull, this is the Australian Liberal leader, Malcolm Turnbull's credibility was so badly damaged that he was forced out at the next opportunity. He made allegations that were untrue. In this case, that Labor had improperly assisted a car dealer seeking help from the government. When Labor denied the claims, Mr. Turnbull produced an email that he relied on as evidence. The email turned out to be fraudulent, but it took a forensic investigation and enormous pressure from Australian media to prove the email had been fabricated. That pressure was only possible because news media and the Canberra Gallery simply refused to accept statements protecting the source of the email. So what happened here? Our Prime Minister, advised by the same political consultancy as Mr. Turnbull and from the same political stable, made allegations that S&P would downgrade New Zealand if we had a Labour government. The statement proved to be wrong. S&P explicitly and emphatically denied it. And under pressure to explain his comment, our PM produced an anonymous email that he said backed up his claim. But he won't produce the source or anything that verifies the document. How is it that in Australia, this is a resignation offence, whereas here the questions over the email have stopped? Where is the evidence that the email was not fabricated, as the Australian one was? Isn't the onus on the accuser, who was Mr. Key himself, to verify the exhibits he produces in evidence? I think it is fascinating, the parallels, given that these have the same PR flags, given that their operations are guided by the exact same people, the way it played out almost identically, except where it came to the point where we relied on our media to do their fucking job. And it's at that point things changed. Fascinating that the Australian, what's their party called? It's not that, they're not called National.
How is the Liberals?
Liberals, the Australian Liberal Party, the ALP, thank you, Dylan. The Australian Liberal Party leader, the Australian Liberal Party being their equivalent of National. Liberal might be in the name, not necessarily what you take it to mean. A lot of people, different opinions of what liberal means. Australian Liberal Party, Australian National Party leader, essentially, lied, presented an email, turned out to be fraudulent. New Zealand National Party leader lied, presented an email. We don't know if it was fraudulent or not. whole thing is fucking sketchy. Smile and wave as a dirty little toad. And I hope that future history tells the whole story. We've already got Hollow Men from Nikki Hager. Told a lot of the story as it stood, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Pretty damaging documentary that went along with it, Hollow Men. Suggest that listeners, you should look it up, Hollow Men. You can find it on the internet in whole. And I think legitimately as well. You might be a bit surprised. Or you might not be surprised.
It was on Māori TV, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's right. Wouldn't be on TVNZ. No. Why would it be on TVNZ? Actually, I shouldn't say that. It may have been on TVNZ.
It wasn't, but it could have been.
Yeah. Well, they do what they're told, though, don't they? Anyway, that's probably that. That's a bit of a grim ending. Maybe we can find something funny to end on.
I got nothing.
Nothing here either.
I'll find something. Are you ready? Do you know what this is going to be?
Wait, I got something before you go. Don't do it. Stop.
Yeah, go on.
Okay. I just wanted to remind anyone who's listened to this point, you've hung in for a little while, that the Discourse live election coverage show is coming up, coincidentally coinciding with the live election. And if you listen to this show, you're obviously... If you listen this far, you're obviously a big fan of the show. You should go immediately to whoever it is that pays you money to do things and tell them that they should pay us money or provide some services somehow to help us do the election show.
We will give you exposure. It won't be money for nothing. We'll talk about your products and or services, if you wish, on the show for, a few weeks.
Yep, we're willing to come up with any sort of, we're very creative, willing to come up with any way of highlighting your support that you feel is appropriate. You can go to discourse.co.nz/election to tell us about yourself and how you could help us. We would like you to help us because we want to make an awesome show that everyone can watch and enjoy or whatever.
And we still do want additional commentators from anywhere around the country. Preferably, you would have some political nous. Maybe you're a politics nerd. Maybe you're a candidate. Maybe you're the spouse of a candidate and you can get them to talk to us on the evening. It will be after the restrictions on talking about campaigns are over, so they'll be free to talk. We can talk about results. We can talk about how your campaign went. It'd be good fun. You could be an amateur pundit. We're going to have plenty of time to fill, so really we can have just about everyone and that we want. We'll be able to find time for everyone. We'll probably be on for 5 hours. A little bit anxious about that, actually.
Yeah, that's another thing. We do need some content to play to give us some breaks now, obviously, because we're not on a television channel. We weren't playing commercials as such, although if you want to give us some money, we could play your commercial.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
But perhaps also, I don't know, if you have some video content of some sort that might serve as some suitable filler, maybe a interesting music video, or we want to have a break, not too long break.
Yeah,
breaks
a couple of minutes.
Just give us time to refresh and sort ourselves out and get new things lined up. So if you've got something that might help us that is good that you'd like people to see that isn't not good, that could be useful too. discourse.co.nz/election. It's a bit like erection, but...
Election Erection. Discourse Weekly Show, Urban Dictionary, Word of the Week.
Oh my God, why didn't we call the show Election Erection? Is it too late to change it?
Of course it's not too late. In fact, of course, I mean, the show can have multiple names throughout the evening. Maybe we could even break it up into hours.
It's a multi-parter.
And each hour can have, can have a different name.
Well, this could involve some brainstorming.
I'd be perfectly happy with that. Five names. Seven. Maybe we can be half-hour shows. I'd be happy with that. I would really like it if I didn't have to host the whole thing for 5 hours.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I would really like that. I would really like that.
We should rope in some more people to sit in front of the camera. I still think we should put some pressure on friend of the show and one-time co-host, Jose Barbosa.
Jose Barbosa would be an absolute dream.
Actually. Well, he knows what he's doing. He's a professional.
Love that dude. Yeah. Love that dude. So much talent. Not just a Hmong face.
Terrific.
Not just a Hmong face at all. Let's wind this up. I've enjoyed this one, boys. Maybe that's because I'm so high on the monster. Did you guys get to talk?
No.
A little.
Basically, you've just been emitting for the last sort of nearly 2 hours, you've just been emitting this sort of high-pitched squealing noise.
Mm.
I thought that was just the dubstep.
Was any of it recognizable as words?
At one point, you said...
Flurble.
Scrotum. And then a bunch of people's names.
Yeah.
And hot chili curry.
Hot chili on the scrotum. Ugh.
Yeah.
Wesley Warren. He is American. US American. Wesley Warren Jr. He has a 100-pound growth on his testicles.
Thank you.
He's 47 years old. He has scrotal lymphedema.
I've clicked on the link.
A condition.
Let me just see, is there a photograph? Am I going to regret this?
No. Well, there's a video, though, of him walking, and you can see his giant scrotum through his orange pants, his hammer pants. Has he got, like, a hoodie on upside down so he can get his balls in there?
God.
47 years old. Since 2008, he's had scrotal lymphedema, a condition that has made his scrotum swell up with watery fluid to weigh more than 100 pounds. He carries around a milk crate and pillow to rest his oversized body part on. Because of the extra weight, he has trouble breathing and walking. He can't work. He deals with uncontrollable urination. And unsurprisingly, he gets strange looks from passers-by, suffers from depression, and stays at home most of the time. He says he feels like a freak, yet he soldiers on, fighting off suicidal thoughts and laughing, however easily, at his predicament. This link is via Listener270. Don't know who you are, Listener270. They say, my gift for the show. Appreciate it, actually, Listener 270. Thank you. I feel very sad for this person. He can't afford the corrective surgery because it costs $1 million. In New Zealand, someone would just sort him out.
Yeah, he might have to wait a while, but we'd fix him.
I don't know that he'd have to wait that long.
Not for something like that. You imagine there'd be quite a few surgeons want to have a go at it.
Yeah.
Right.
He attributes his condition to an accidental striking of his testicles by his own legs as he twisted and turned upon awaking from a sleep in late 2008.
Oh, who hasn't done that?
I never felt such pain, he said. It was like a shooting pain through my entire body. When it stopped, it was like a huge tractor trailer went off the top of me. I think it ruined my lymph nodes down there. Well, I don't know. Is he a doctor? Big guess. The pain quickly went away, but he said the next morning when he awoke, his scrotum was, quote, the size of a soccer ball. Warren's been on antibiotics and medications, but doctors have told him that he needs surgery to resolve his problems. Doctors at UCLA say they can perform the seven-figure operation, but Warren's Nevada Medicaid won't cover it, so he's got to pay for the surgery himself. Doctors can't even predict that the surgery will be successful. Castration ultimately might be necessary. But Warren wants to see if the surgery will work before losing his testicles and penis forever. Why would he have to lose his penis? That doesn't...
I don't know that follows.
I don't know that that follows. Now that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right at all. God, I bet his scrotum must be huge. It'll be all stretched out.
So let's leave you with that vision.
So he's set up an email address to collect donations, and has begun publicising his condition. He needs a Kickstarter for ball removal.
Yeah, man. What do you get if you kick in $100, do you reckon? A bit of scrotum?
A comment. This is on Gawker.com. It's on in the healthcare section. Written by Laurie Apple. Unlikely name. Best comment, a penis saved is a penis earned.
So true.
And with that, my friends.
That is definitely it.
We are going to end our lovely show. Play us out, keyboard Ross Geller. That was, I love that. I love it so much.
Okay, I'm going to go now.
Thanks, Cam.
So I think I'm off as well.
The show is now over. Thank you, listeners. Once again, love you. Love you, love you, love you. Goodbye.
You push my buttons.
Bye.
Fish and chips. Fish and chips. Fish and chips.
The show is cancelled. Beep.
Quit.
You can't get rid of them that easily.
Love it.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.